What's up, fellas? It's Bush here. Before we get into today's episode, I want to remind you that Underdog is the place to be if you guys want to crush your buffoon league mates this year. Underdog not only is the best place to play fantasy football because it has no waivers, no trades, you just draft, and then you collect your winnings at the end of the year. Big, big time winnings. $2 million to first in Best Ball Mania 6. Contest for any price point. But the reason that I love Underdog so much is because when I get 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 drafts under my belt, I know exactly where players are going in sharp, real ADP drafts that are going to make me laugh at where I can get players in my home redraft league. Because ultimately, that's what I care about winning the most, my home redraft league. So when you're training on Underdog, when you're drafting, you're getting the best real life practice you can possibly get. Doing mock drafts on ESPN, doing mock drafts on Yahoo will not get you as prepared as Underdog will. Sign up right now. Use the promo code FSE when you sign up and you'll get up to $1,000 in bonus cash on the site on your first deposit and a gimme pick in your pick'em lobby. Check out the link in the description of all of our videos to get started. Now let's get into it.
The NFL coaching landscape has had a wild offseason with over a dozen relevant offensive situations changing going into 2025. Today, I'm here to talk through the 13 offensive coaching changes and rank them on a tier list based on the positive or negative impact I expect going into this year for fantasy football. And the basis for these tiers will be as follows: S tier being a huge upgrade, A tier being a noticeable upgrade, B tier being a slight upgrade or a lateral move, C tier, in my opinion, being a slight downgrade, and the D tier being a big downgrade going into 2025. Before we get started, there is obvious context, you know, such as breaking down the intricacies of a scheme, talking through different personnel, but some of the metrics I share are to give you guys a good idea and talk through how the coach will impact the fantasy expectation of their team's players. But let's waste no more time and let's go conference by conference, starting with the NFC. Well, let's start right at the top here with Ben Johnson being hired by the Chicago Bears. And if you guys have been following football, if you guys were playing fantasy football, or heck, if you guys just simply haven't been living under a tree, you guys will know that Ben Johnson, the Chicago Bears, clear huge upgrade. He is the first coach belonging in the S tier, in my opinion. In terms of the rundown, 2024 Chicago Bears last year, Shane Walter and Thomas Brown being their offensive play callers, ranked 12th in terms of plays per game, 28th in terms of points per game, 31st in terms of pass yards per game, and 24th in terms of rush yards per game. Let me just give you a little bit of the breakdown. Obviously, the last 2 years, Detroit Lions led by Ben Johnson, third and second respectively, 2023-2024 in terms of plays per game, fifth and first respectively in terms of points per game, third and second in pass yards per game, and sixth and third in terms of rush yards per game. Very clear, Ben Johnson, sharpest offensive mind on the market. Everybody was talking about, where's Ben Johnson going to coach next year? Ben Johnson obviously signs that deal with the Chicago Bears. First things first, we could talk about the personnel changes, revamping the offensive line, spending two key pieces on those skilled players. But realistically, why we're so excited about Ben Johnson is his ability to get his playmakers in space. That's why I'm excited. I believe in Caleb Williams. I think Ben Johnson is the perfect architect to get the best out of this Bears offense. Now, if your expectation is him just taking what he did from Detroit and just completely doing the same thing in Chicago, I don't think it's going to be the exact offense he was running in Detroit. Caleb Williams, a little bit more of an off-script quarterback. Jared Goff, a little bit more of an in-structure quarterback. But I do think the upside is for this offense to be a top 5 to 10 unit in the league. And based on the numbers that we saw last year, that would be a clear, stark improvement. So to me, Ben Johnson, clear, huge upgrade. Him and another coach that we'll talk about in the AFC side make up a two-man tier, in my opinion, in the S tier. But you guys will have to wait to find out who that other coach is. The next team in the NFC we'll go through is actually my favorite team. And so I'll have a lot more context to talk about in this regard. But I'll put Brian Schottenheimer in the B tier, slight upgrade slash an even. And I'll compound Brian Schottenheimer with the Cowboys' new OC with Clayton Adams. Obviously, 2024 coaching staff, Mike McCarthy as the head coach. Brian Schottenheimer was his OC. So Schottenheimer does get that promotion, does become the team's new head coach. And I do expect it to be a relatively similar offense to what we've seen, because that's what we've seen throughout the tenure of Dak Prescott, whether it was Mike McCarthy, whether it was Jason Garrett, clear offensive success when they've been healthy. For reference, I'll kind of recap the years when Dak was healthy in this Mike McCarthy scheme. In terms of 2021 to 2023, like I said, the Dak healthy years when he played 10 plus games, second, eighth, and second respectively in terms of pace of play, first, fourth, and first in terms of points per game, fourth, 13th, and first in terms of pass yards per game, and ninth, ninth, and 15th in terms of rush yards per game. And the reason why I do view Schottenheimer is a B-tier hire is, like I said, very similar offensive system. He obviously worked under Mike McCarthy last year. And while you could make the case, well, he's an offense coordinator, now he's getting put into a head coaching role, how do you view it the same as when he was an offensive coordinator working under Mike McCarthy? I also view Clayton Adams as a big-time hire specifically for the run game. I think Schottenheimer will handle his things. Obviously, Dak, the receiving weapons they have in the pass game. But Clayton Adams and the work he was able to do with a, let's just say, lackluster talent offensive line there with Arizona has me really excited for this Cowboys offensive line. Clayton Adams proved his prowess as an offensive line coach over there in Arizona. I really do think in terms of the run blocking concepts, his coaching up front, we could see the Cowboys young offensive line take a step in development. Now, don't get me wrong, this should still profile to be a heavy pass team. Look at the offensive transactions. You let Rico Dowdle go. Your running back core now consists of Javonte Williams, Miles Sanders, and Jaden Blue. To me, this screams Dak Prescott's going to throw the ball probably 65, 66% of the offensive plays, especially when you also add in that they draft an offensive lineman and they trade for George Pickens from the Pittsburgh Steelers. So to me, B-tier higher. Again, if you view it as a C-tier because you liked Mike McCarthy, so be it. But to me, hiring Brian Schottenheimer, increasing the validity of that run game is the big-time step I expect of the Cowboys. And not to mention, I mean, their metrics are already clearly strong with Mike McCarthy. Even just having a new voice in the room after a down 2024 season should set some positivity for these offensive playmakers. Going on to the third team in the NFC, and this is the team that will make up the D-tier. Again, John Morton, I think he's a fine coach. Obviously, before his tenure with the Detroit Lions as an assistant, worked a little bit with the Denver Broncos, had a couple different stints as the USC offensive coordinator and as the New York Jets offensive coordinator in 2017. This has nothing to do with me feeling negative about John Morton. It solely has to do with the fact that I think Ben Johnson is arguably a top 3 to 5 offensive mind in the league. So losing him inherently will have its hiccups. And I mentioned some of the metrics with the Chicago Bears hire, but if you guys need a precursor on that, top 6 in basically every metric these last 2 years is what the Detroit Lions offense has ranked. And as much as I like John Borden, like I said, I think he can, you know, keep this team afloat, obviously has the playmakers to work with here. He is not Ben Johnson, and I do think this offense will be in regression. You lose, obviously, Frank Ragnow. This isn't a player personnel video, but the dominant run game that we have come to know for the Detroit Lions may not be as dominant. Now, having Jahmyr Gibbs, having David Montgomery, you're going to have a strong run game regardless. But outside of the scheme versatility that Ben Johnson brought to this diverse running game last year, I also do think the play calling sequencing will be at a big impact here. Because Ben Johnson, known as one of the best play sequences in the league, you know, first and second down, you have a heavy load of Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. Third down, he's hitting you over the top to Jameson Williams. Like, what Ben Johnson was able to do with his team this last 2 years should not go unnoted. Sure, John Morton, very much room to surprise me, but I will give Ben Johnson his flowers, and him leaving to me is a big-time downgrade. The next team we'll talk through is the New Orleans Saints, with Kellen Moore being hired as their new head coach and Doug Nussmeier being hired as their new offense coordinator. And to me, this is teetering on the edge because I'm thinking either an A or a B here. And I'm on the fence here again. Either he's going to be at the top end of B or he's going to be at the bottom end of A. And I'll settle right down. Maybe I adjust him later in the video. I'm going to leave him at the top of B for now. And it's clear, obviously, he's had success as an offensive coordinator in the past. In terms of Kellen Moore's tenures as an offensive play caller, started with Dallas, top 10 offense per year there, had a down year in 2023 with the LA Chargers. Rebounded big time, got his stock up. Obviously, the Philadelphia Eagles won the 2024 Super Bowl, and they were a very top offense in that season. Fourth in plays per game, seventh in points per game, 30th in pass per game. Again, we'll talk about in a second, may have been influenced by overall game script, and second in rush yards per game. The inverse of that, of course, if the Eagles are going to be, you know, one of the best teams in the league, going to be running the ball in the second half. Specifically last year, there was a stat. Jalen Hurts in the final 10 games of last year, I believe it was, only threw 9 passes in the second half when trailing. So clear as day, I mean, this is not the Philadelphia Eagles offense in 2024. He's heading on to a whole new situation. You don't got the same offensive line. You don't got the same quarterback play, receiving weapons. And as much as I love Alvin Kamara, he is not Saquon Barkley at this point in his career. So it's very clear that the overall personnel he's working with the Saints is not going to mirror maybe what he saw in Dallas or what he saw in Philadelphia. But overall, I do think Kellen Moore is a fine offensive mind. I do think the pairing of him and Doug Nussmeier has proven to work in the past. They paired up in Dallas. They paired up in Philadelphia. So I am cautiously optimistic about Kellen Moore. He replaces Clint Kubiak, who last year as the play caller with the Saints led them to be 23rd in pace of play, 24th in points per game, 23rd in pass yards per game, and 16th in rush yards per game. So like I said, you can put him up there with a noticeable upgrade, but to me, he is a slight upgrade and he'll be the top of the B tier, but don't hold me to it. Maybe by the end of the video, I will have him at the end of the A tier. Moving on to the fifth team in the NFC, we have the Philadelphia Eagles. I just mentioned Kellen Moore accepting the head coaching job for the New Orleans Saints. The Philadelphia Eagles replace him with Kevin Petullo as their new offense coordinator. I rang through where they ranked in 2024 when I talked about the Saints. But obviously, with Kevin Petullo coming over, no real experience as an offensive play caller. I can't have them on an even level because Kellen Moore, with his experience on multiple stops, I do think is a more proven offensive mind at this point. However, I'm going to put him in the C tier. And the reason being is he still has a great infrastructure to work with. For quarterback, pass game coordinator, we could potentially see the pass game regress positively for the Eagles this year. On top of that, of course, if their defense isn't as dominant, as Saquon Barkley's not breaking off as many long runs, I do think the overall impact is we'll see more pass attempts for the Eagles. The Eagles last year down the stretch were an historically low passing volume offense. So I do think in terms of what we could expect going into 2025, we see a more even balance. I do think they're still going to be run heavy when you have Jalen Hurts in the backfield, when you have Saquon Barkley, that dominant offensive line. They will be a run first team by nature on top of having an elite defense. But I do think the overall pass game script will improve because there's no way it can hold or get worse from what it was in 2024. Next team in the NFC will be the Seattle Seahawks, bringing in Clint Kubiak. Out goes Ryan Grubb, back to pair with Kalen DeBoer with the Alabama Crimson Tide. In terms of where I think Clint Kubiak ranks, I'm going to put him up in the A tier. He's the first member of the A tier. The reason being, we see the offensive metrics for the Seahawks last season with Ryan Grubb. 25th in terms of pace of play, 18th in terms of points per game, 6th in pass yards per game. I do think a lot of that could be contributed to having a guy like Geno Smith airing it out. And 28th in rush yards per game. For reference, I already mentioned some of the metrics with Clint Kubiak. 23rd, 24th, 23rd, 16th respectively in those metrics. So why is he an A tier? Because when you compare it out, looks like a similarly performing offense that the Saints had with Kubiak versus what the Seahawks had with Grubb last year. The reason why I have Kubiak this high is I do think he had much less talent to work with the Saints. And to be honest, he is actually the main reason why I had more in the B tier and not the A tier. I do think Kubiak is a very good offensive mind. I think he was left with the shorthand of the stick last year working with the Saints. I think going to the Seattle Seahawks, they invest in the offensive line in the first round with Gray Zabel. He gets to run his offense and particularly his impact on the running game. I think Kenneth Walker, if he can stay healthy, could be in store for a big time year. Kubiak coming from that Shanahan tree, experience obviously working with that San Francisco run game. We really did see the rush game for the Saints take off despite having a porous offensive line last year. The Saints last year, despite having a porous offensive line, an immobile quarterback, being behind for the large portion of the year last year, ranking middle of the pack in terms of rush yards per game was impressive. Now you get to work with Kenneth Walker. You get to work with a team that will be ahead in terms of gain scripts this year. Personally, for me, I think Kenneth Walker is the biggest winner of this Clint Kubiak signing, and I could see him being in store for a career year. Again, Kenneth Walker, I don't think the issues with him are actually stemmed in terms of his overall play. He just needs to stay healthy, because when he is healthy, we went through it in terms of the video a couple weeks ago, but Zach Charbonnet is the clear handcuff here. Kenneth Walker is the clear bell cow. So in terms of the overall takeaway for the Seahawks offense, I will be drafting a lot more Kenneth Walker because I think he is a perfect scheme fit for what Clint Kubiak wants to do. And then the final team of the NFC, we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Liam Cohn goes out. We have Josh Grizzard taking over as the offensive coordinator after being the team's pass game coordinator last year. And I will put Josh Grizzard in the C tier. And the reason why I have him in the C tier, and people might be saying, well, spoiler alert, by the way, Liam Cohn is going to be the other head coach joining Ben Johnson in the S tier. People might be saying, well, how do you have John Morton in the D tier and Josh Grizzard in the C tier? And the reason being is that Josh Grizzard was actually the third down coordinator, the third down play caller for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last season. And they were the number one most efficient team on third down. So although he does have a lot more on his plate, and we'll talk about the impact in the rushing game specifically, I do think Grizzard can help this pass game. And I do think this pass game, again, losing Liam Cohn is going to suck regardless, but when you have Baker, when you have the weapons they do on the outside, you know, they have Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Emeka Ogbuka, Cade Otton, receiving backs that can contribute out of the backfield. Like, to me, I'm not worried about this passing offense. So because I'm not worried about this passing offense, I will have Grizzard in the C tier. I think he proved last year on third down that he can be capable of scheming up pass plays. My main concern for Grizzard, because when you look at the old body of work for what Liam Cohn did, ninth in pace of play, fourth in points per game, fourth in pass yards per game, but fifth in rushing yards per game. Now, don't get me wrong, Tampa Bay, great offensive line. But I also think Liam Cohn's run scheme was a big impact on why we saw the rushing game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers explode in the way it did in 2024. For reference, Dave Canales in 2023, he was the hot head coaching candidate. He went to the Carolina Panthers, obviously had success with them last season. But when you compare Dave Canales, the hot head coaching candidate, to what Liam Cohn was able to do with the rushing game, the success that Liam Cohn had last year and in the inverse, the lack of success Canales had, it gets me a little bit worried. Was Liam Cohn the architect of this run game? Like, should we be viewing him up there with a guy like Sean McVay, a guy like Kyle Shanahan in terms of run game scheming? Was it solely because the Buccaneers had growing personnel from 2023 to 2024 that really took their run game off? And because Grizzard hasn't proven his hand in terms of how he'll handle this rushing attack, I do have him in the C tier. But if he can prove, like Cohn, that he can handle this rushing attack, it can lead to a top 10 level rushing output, I think Grizzard could even move up this. For now, again, he has to be in C tier, but I do prefer him as an offensive play caller than what's proven out of John Morton thus far. Moving on to the AFC, we start off with the Cleveland Browns. Tommy Rees coming in as their new offense coordinator. Out goes Ken Dorsey, now the pass game specialist for the Dallas Cowboys. I guess I could have mentioned that before, but Clayton Adams is their offense coordinator, so there was no need. It's very clear to me. Tommy Rees comes in. It's a B tier. You know why it's a B tier? Because I think this is an even move. Whether it was Ken Dorsey, whether it was Tommy Rees, the Cleveland Browns run a Kevin Stefanski offense. And Kevin Stefanski is still this team's head coach. So I think as long as this team stays healthy, we can expect their push up front. We can expect a strong ground game. Now, a little bit of personnel issues there. I mean, we'll see what ends up happening with Quinshon Judkins, whether it's Quinshon Judkins leading this attack or whether it's, you know, the combination of Dylan Sampson plus Jerome Ford. I think this team will be based more on the ground game than what we saw in 2024. I think the reason why we didn't see a strong ground game in 2024, like I said, was more so attributed to injuries, Nick Chubb not looking like himself, and this team just quite frankly being so far behind in terms of game script, given their terrible quarterback play. Anyway, you slice it, whether it's Tommy Rees, whether it's Ken Dorsey, there is some hesitance in overly projecting this offense because it is still bad. On to the next team in the AFC, we have the Houston Texans. In comes Nick Caley, out goes Bobby Slowick as their offense coordinator. And I will rank Nick Caley in the B tier. I'll have him above Tommy Rees, as I'll explain in a second. And I'll have him slightly behind these other two B tier coaches. For reference, what the Texans were 2023 and 2024 with Bobby Slowick. 2023, 22nd, and 2024, 10th respectively in pace of play. 13th and 19th in points per game. 8th and 20th in pass yards per game, and 28th and 13th in rush yards per game. And it's kind of funny, you compare the splits, they were much more of a pass-happy team in 2023 when their weapons were healthy, when CJ Stroud was playing better football. And in 2024, you know, they added Joe Mixon in the offseason, the receivers got hurt on the outside. We did see their overall pass game decline while their rush game improved. And for the most part, I think Bobby Slowick, whether it was, you know, his word in the locker room wasn't kind of working at that point, his play sequencing was a disaster, whatever the case may be, the Texans did feel the need to move on this offseason. And in comes Nick Caley out of that LA Rams tree. Now, he doesn't have experience as an offensive play caller. Obviously, that was tasked with Sean McVay. I do think he was able to pick up on some of the principles from that McVay scheme. Now, obviously, you could have said the same thing for Bobby Slowick, which is why I have Nick Caley in the B tier. But if Nick Caley can prove to be a better play sequencer than what Bobby Slowick was, I would have no problem putting him in the A tier. Now, I think Clint Kubiak is more proven. I think Kellen Moore is more proven. And I think the addition specifically of Clayton Adams will have the new Cowboys offensive coaching staff above him. But I do think there's big time upside for Caley if he can just be a fresh voice in that room. Going over to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I kind of alluded to it earlier, but let's just put this guy where he belongs. Liam Cohn, new head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, Jaguars fans, if you're listening to this right now, your head coach is an S-tier hire. He is a huge upgrade. Now, I think, you know, Doug Peterson, fine offensive mind, obviously had success with Philadelphia before as their offensive coordinator. Like, Doug Peterson is a fine coach. But I already went over it with the Bucks last year, but they were just an absolute video game offense. Ninth, like I said, pace of play, fourth points per game, fourth pass yards per game, fifth rush yards per game. And he was a clear upgrade over Dave Canales from 2023 to that 2024 Bucks offense. You even look with his time in Kentucky. He led a very strong 2023 Kentucky offense. For me with Liam Cohn, what I am most excited about, like Ben Johnson, is his ability to get playmakers in space, his ability to create the biggest mismatches in terms of matchups on the field. What I think we'll see in terms of the run game, we're going to see a lot more diversity. Tank Bigsby, Travis Etienne, Bishal Tutin, I think will all play significant roles in this offense. Bigsby is more of your power back profile. Etienne is more of your receiving back. And Tutin being your juice out of the backfield, being 220 with 4.3 level speed. I'm really excited. And on top of that, I mean, we can talk about the pass game. I mean, Brian Thomas Jr., obviously Travis Hunter being drafted second overall. Liam Cohn is the architect that I want to set those guys up in space like Ben Johnson. I think, like Caleb Williams, though, the biggest winner is the syrup that goes over all of the pancakes. Trevor Lawrence being able to work with this type of coach, I mean, he started off with Urban Meyer, and while Doug Peterson was fine, like if we go through his tenure, the 2022 through 2024 tenure of Doug Peterson, you'll see 2022, 2023, and 2024 respectively, 17th, 6th, and 32nd in pace of play, 10th, 13th, and 26th in points per game, 10th, 9th, and 24th in terms of pass yards per game, and 14th, 23rd, and 25th in terms of rush yards per game. Very clear, he was a fine offensive mind last year with all of the injuries, with all of the, you know, a lot of turmoil going on as a result with the Jaguars. I mean, there was a reason why they were a bottom five team in the league. They needed a new, fresh voice in the room, and being able to hire somebody with the resume that Liam Cohn does. You have Jaguars assets in Dynasty. If you're looking for a team to draft in fantasy this year, the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Chicago Bears are the two biggest winners of the offseason from a scheme perspective. Going on to the next team, and that will be the New England Patriots bringing a, we'll just say, familiar face to the fold here. Josh McDaniels coming back to the Patriots as their new offensive coordinator. Yes, you heard that correctly. The same Josh McDaniels that was there between 2012 and 2021, oversaw a ton of success, worked firsthand with Tom Brady, is now officially here to develop Drake May. And I think this is very clearly an A-tier hire. I'll actually put him above Kubiak given the history of success here. I could go year by year, to be honest. It's just going to save a bunch of us time if I just go over their averages. The average offensive rankings for a Josh McDaniels-led Patriots unit between 2012 and 2021, when he was the offensive coordinator, and keep in mind, in 2021, it was no Tom Brady. It was actually Mac Jones that he was working with. The averages, 8.1 in terms of pace of play in the league. Again, 32 teams in the league. He was on average the eighth best team in terms of pace of play. Sixth in points per game, 8.8 in terms of pass yards per game, and 12.6 in terms of rush yards per game. For reference, with where the Patriots ranked with Alex Van Pelt last year, 26th in pace of play, 30th in points per game, 32nd in pass yards per game, and 25th in rush yards per game. Last year, the Patriots were one of the worst offenses in the league. Drake May had no help up front. The receiving game was lacking. Obviously, Drake May was a rookie quarterback in his own right. But I also think Josh McDaniels himself is a significant upgrade over Van Pelt, specifically with what he could do with his passing game. Like I said, 8.8 average pass yards per game rank. Again, take it with a grain of salt. A lot of it did come with Tom Brady. But even in the year that he had with Mac Jones, it was a very efficient passing offense. Mac Jones, I believe, was one of the finalists in terms of Offensive Rookie of the Year. And Drake May, from a traits perspective, from a talent perspective, is a light years above what Mac Jones represented as a prospect. I am excited, man. You bring in Stephon Diggs this offseason, Pop Douglas potentially another year to develop. You bring in Kyle Williams in the NFL draft. To me, this is poised to be one of the biggest improved offenses in the league. And I didn't even mention the fact that they literally drafted a stud offensive lineman in Will Campbell with that fourth overall pick. So overall, again, I know we have to isolate the personnel from the scheme here. I think Josh McDaniels has a proven track record of leading strong offenses. And based on how abysmal the offense was with Alex Van Pelt last year, it is nothing short of a noticeable upgrade for the Patriots. And I think you can even make the case that he is the top of the A. Yes, I would put him over Kubiak given that 10-year stretch of excellence. The next team on the list will be the New York Jets, incoming Aaron Glenn as the head coach, but specifically Tanner Engstrom as their offense coordinator and play caller. Out goes Robert Saleh and Nathaniel Hackett as their offense coordinator and head coach combo. The Jets the last 2 years, I mean, let's just put it straight away. As long as they were getting an average level offensive mind running their offense, they were going to be an A tier because anybody is a noticeable upgrade. Anybody with a pulse for that matter is a noticeable upgrade over Nathaniel Hackett. Now, we'll just go through the numbers, 2023, 2024, respectively. 30th and 30th in terms of pace of play. 29th and 24th in terms of points per game. 30th and 17th in terms of pass yards per game. And 22nd and 31st in terms of rush yards per game. Now, and maybe they are due for some regression in the passing game because 17th last year was high with Aaron Rodgers. And moving on to Justin Fields, inherently a less accurate quarterback, could have his impact there. However, it also could be offset with the fact that Tanner Engstrom is in that Ben Johnson tree. Tanner Engstrom worked with Ben Johnson when Ben Johnson turned the career around for Jared Goff. If you recall, that first year with Jared Goff with the Detroit Lions, not a great year. Ben Johnson gets hired, that offensive passing game completely gets juice, and we do see Jared Goff now very much looked at as a top 12, top 14 level quarterback in the league. So again, I think Jared Goff is a better pure quarterback than Justin Fields. But don't take it with a grain of salt that Justin Fields could very much improve with a guy like Tanner Engstrom in town. If he does prove to be an advantage as an offensive mind. Now, specifically, we will focus on the impact of Engstrom coming in on the running game. Because 22nd and 31st back-to-back years, Nathaniel, like, I don't know what you were doing with this offense, but it wasn't good enough. This offseason, they bring in Armon Membu for the offensive line. Justin Fields, as we know, much higher rushing tendencies than what we've come to expect with Aaron Rodgers, especially after the blown Achilles. But specifically with Breece Hall and why I'm all in on Breece Hall this season, Breece Hall's going on the 3-4 turn right now, despite a clear upgrade in terms of the rushing game. Again, personnel aside, Engstrom coming in versus what we saw from Nathaniel Hackett these last years, 22nd and 31st in rush yards per game. Like, Breece Hall's already been a top three level running back in the 22nd ranked offense in terms of rush yards per game in the league. If we can just see this offensive run game get a little bit more consistent, threaten to be a top 15, top 13 level unit with Engstrom coming in, this guy is the absolute limit with Breece Hall. I do think last season we were robbed of a big time year because of injuries. With him being fully healthy, with this run scheme coming in, I think this is about to be Breece Hall's best year in the NFL. So if you can still get him in the third round after this video, make sure you go smash him on every single platform, but specifically over on Underdog Fantasy. If you guys use promo code FSE on sign up and first deposit, you guys can get up to $1,000 in bonuses on that first deposit. So make sure, if you can still get him in the third round, go over to Underdog, smash that ADP. I think he is in store for a monster season. Moving on to the final team of the video with a significant offensive coaching change, we head on to the Las Vegas Raiders, bringing back Chip Kelly to the NFL. Chip Kelly, 2024, spending that season with the Ohio State Buckeyes, national champion Buckeyes. He heads back to the NFL now, working with Pete Carroll and these Raiders. Pete Carroll and Chip Kelly in, Antonio Pierce and Luke Getsy out. And we'll talk about, you know, Chip Kelly's very, very strong resume in a second, but we'll talk about specifically what the Raiders offense looked like with Luke Getsy in 2024. 2024, 12th in pace of play, 29th in points per game, 13th in pass yards per game, but only 32nd in rush yards per game. And keep in mind for that, because that is a very important tidbit in a second. Because when we look at Chip Kelly's tenure, yeah, you could look at Ohio State. Again, keep in mind, in college, obviously, there's so many teams with so many varying schedules, so you're not going to get the best look. But he was top eight in terms of offensive points per game with those Ohio State Buckeyes last year. And in terms of his tenure as the Eagles head coach between 2013 and 2015, 2013, 14, and 15, respectively, he ranked 12th, 1st, and 2nd in pace of play, 4th, 3rd, and 13th in points per game, 10th, 6th, and 12th in terms of pass yards per game, and 1st, 8th, and 15th in terms of rush yards per game. Very clear, given his tenure with the Eagles, given his work with Trevion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins last year with Ohio State, Chip Kelly wants to run the heck out of the football, and he wants to run a whole ton of plays. The fact that he ranked in 3 years as a head coach, top two in pace of play, two separate years, and top eight in rush yards per game, two separate years. The upside is through the roof with this Chip Kelly offense. Now, Chip Kelly, again, he gets much maligned. Obviously, he had some, you know, locker room stuff that people were reporting with his time in Philly. But it's very clear that he was a productive play caller. He was a productive offensive mind. And he's led some of the best offenses we have seen from both a college football and NFL lens in the last 15 or so years. Chip Kelly is a proven offensive mind. He knows how to scheme up a ground game. And what do the Raiders do this offseason? They go out there and they draft Ashton Jeanty with the 6th overall pick. I would not put it past the Las Vegas Raiders and Chip Kelly to make Ashton Jeanty the highest volume running back in the league. We're talking a back that can threaten 22, 23, 24 opportunities per game as a rookie. And as we know, with in terms of the hit rates of top 10 running backs, 18.5 points per game for comparable prospects for Ashton Jeanty. So really what it comes down to it, Brock Bowers I'm all in on, of course. I mean, 28% target share down the stretch, one of the best tight end prospects we've ever seen. And Ashton Jeanty I'm all in on. If you guys are wondering, ooh, are these guys overvalued as, you know, top 15, top 20 picks in my fantasy drafts because they play for the Raiders? People might be looking at that, but realistically, I think Geno Smith's a good quarterback. They obviously bring him in as well. I think the ceiling is there for this Raiders offense to be the sneakiest offensive unit in the league. On the back of Ashton Jeanty, on the back of Brock Bowers, and on the back of significantly improved quarterback play. I mean, going from, you know, the rotating cast of, you know, Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell, Desmond Ridder last year. Geno Smith, love him or hate him, he's a top 15, top 18 level quarterback in the league. So we will see some positive regression from this scoring unit. We will see some clear positive regression in terms of this rush yards per game. And I think the Raiders are poised to be one of the more fun offenses going into this year. But either way, if you guys enjoyed, make sure you leave a like down below. Comment your favorite offensive coaching change, whether, you know, you're all in on Ben Johnson, Liam Cohn, or maybe you want to go a little bit obscure and you're actually very excited about the Texans hire of Nick Caley. Feel free to leave those in the comments. But if you guys want access to all of our rankings as well as our redraft guide, head on over to flockfantasy.com. Promo code FSE will get you 30% off of any site-wide package, as well as a 7-day free trial on the site. I appreciate you guys for making this far, but with that being said, peace out. We'll talk to you soon.